It's Romans 14, verse 22 onwards from the Message. It says, cultivate your own relationship with God, but don't impose it on others. You're fortunate if your behavior and your beliefs are coherent. But if you're not sure, if you notice that you're acting in ways inconsistent with what you believe, some days trying to impose your opinion on others, other days trying just to please everyone, then you know that you are out of line. If the way you live isn't consistent with what you believe, then something's wrong. Drop mic and go home. It's one of those, it's like, okay, we've had enough. It's one of those verses. This tension I want to talk about that Tim introduces, this tension between having a belief but finding yourself acting out in certain ways even though you have a belief. This conversation around, is there something wrong that causes this tension between belief and behavior? And then to try and address what would be the reason why your belief is not influencing your behavior adequately. And the reason why that's incredibly important and quite a tough conversation is your friends notice it even if you don't. So your friends will say, hey, should a Christian, aren't you a Christian? Has anyone ever said that to you before? Aren't you a Christian? Now, I've got advice for everyone about that. Each one should stick to their own journey. Because if you don't do that, you're going to land up self-sabotaging your own road. And the last part of that verse that says there's something wrong, there's one more verse to it that I didn't read. It says, be aware that each person has their own history to deal with. So this is the thing. No two people in this room are the same, not only by creative design, but by experience also. You come to the table with your own history and your own mindsets and your own opinions. And now you find yourself in a space where God is in the pot of your life, but you still have to struggle with your history, your mindsets, and your opinions. You still bring them all into the equation. You do the same in everything. You do that in relationships, don't you? When you're in a relationship with someone, you can put up what you feel they need to know at the beginning. But like I said in the morning service, you should always walk a little road with people because crazy takes a little while to show itself. How many people right now are going, yes, I wish I heard that? See, at the beginning of every relationship, you're like amazing people. This is your brother from another mother. This is, you think you finish each other's sentences. Oh my goodness, where you also think, I was just going to send you that same message. Ah, the world is amazing. Just wait. Give it a couple of months, and then you're going to find out you were going to send the same message because he's stalking you from outside your house. Oh, Lord. Jesus is healing some people, setting some people free, and saying no to some people right now. Here's the thing. I don't want for you to be afraid of the spiritual journey just because you can't meet some kind of standard someone else sets. You know you're unhappy not because you've disappointed people around you and their standards. You're unhappy because you're not even meeting your own standards. I see the revival at the back there. You see, the truth of the matter is the thing we get frustrated about the most is when we say to ourselves, I'm better than that. It's when you're in a conflict and walk away and replay in your mind, you should have been a bigger person than that. It's when you pick up cutlery and throw it at people and realize, that is not me. Please don't do, if you are doing that, you need to go to the counseling department before anybody gets injured. I don't want to see members of our church on the Discovery Crime Network channel. But here's the deal. There is a tension sometimes between what we believe and how we behave. Now, my objective tonight is not to shout at you about that. There is no lifestyle change that comes from shouting at people. At best, you get a temporary adjustment as a result of immediate pressure. But that's not authentic, is it? That's fake. So you marry someone who has pressure on them to behave like a Christian, and they'll come to church with you every Sunday until your wedding. And then they revert to their natural character because the pressure's gone. There's this incredible tension. Now, by the way, if that's you and you're getting married in a few weeks, you're in the right church. We specialize in fixing people who think like that. We're okay. You're in the right place right now. You're like, I'm so happy I'm in a church that's real. It's okay. But just so you know, that if you don't address the thing, so there's no point in shouting about it. What has to happen is address the question of what's wrong. What is going on inside of you that causes for you to act out that way? And see, sometimes we have to start to recognize that things have roots. The Bible says, let no root of bitterness spring up among you and so defile you all. When somebody flies off the handle and they're unreasonably angry for something, that's because there's a root down inside that started somewhere before they even met you that is feeding this explosion in them, and you are the punishment for something that happened in the past. And I guess some of the things I learned from Tim's story is that he acted out a certain way, not because he's a mean hypocrite or any of those things. He acted out a certain way because he felt a void of affection and affirmation. And if the church spent all its time shouting at him, that shouting would be interpreted as rejection. And so he would simply then act out more, which would make the church feel quite justified that they were right about him and writing him off. So in that instance, somebody has to be the bigger person. And that somebody is Jesus Christ. Oh, no, not the church or the pastor. We fail all the time. We just own that. We must just tell the world we are imperfect instead of defending our pretend perfectness, because that's annoying. Full disclosure, I may be on pre-workout. You come for prayer, you might get punched. I'm not sure. I have to take me to the back afterwards. Nutritech gave me the stuff to test, and I'm like, hello. And I took half a spoon. I was like, I don't think I'm going to sleep until Wednesday. But it's annoying to pretend, and nothing is more frustrating to me. Let's just be honest about Christianity, that you talk normally to everyone else all the time, and then when you're like acting all religious, you get that soft tone of annoyance. What is wrong with you? Don't do that. Everybody knows that's not you. We saw you 10 seconds ago swearing at somebody. Now you're like, We don't believe you. Just be you. I'd rather tell the world I need Jesus than pretend he's lucky to know me. Not a good representative of who he is. He represents himself fine. It's getting too hectic here in these services. I'm going to be having to apologize somewhere. There's an apology coming. And in every area, if there's an acting out in something, I talk about giving. I know that's sensitive. You're visiting for the first time. I'm so sorry about that. Come next week. I'll be off pre-workout. But we talk about giving them. People get so worked up. That's because something deep inside, there's something going on there. There's something going on there. Let's fix that thing instead of avoid it here. Because I'll be honest with you, when it comes to giving, I would rather be the guy who can give a glass of water than the guy who needs a glass of water. I'd rather be that way in life than the other way. So when you start digging, you realize there's a root somewhere, and there's a growth of things that comes from something unhealthy. So instead of shouting at one another, or the classic, we land up settling with a group of friends with the same deficiency because we find acceptance in equal failure. So when people tell me, all my friends are sleeping around, well, change your friends. You've all got the same problem. Fix it. No clapping. Like, I'm not clapping for that one. Just because he's single and called to give his life to Jesus, he mustn't come mess with my place. No, the thing is, what happens is you condense to a certain... So here's what happens. When you elevate, you raise your life, you find new people make more sense to you. Never be offensive to others or confrontational to others. You don't have the right to do that. But just be aware. Don't be stuck somewhere by common interest when Christ is busy transforming you to Christ-likeness. Don't be stuck there. Keep moving along the journey, along the way. Obviously, all your friends will relate in a similar age and stage, but keep moving because there's more distance to cover. I'm way over time. I don't know what I'm going to do. No, I know. Okay. I know what you mean, but like the people in the back are like, can those people in the front stop? A true story from the Bible. It just takes a lot of like go and study Bible college to know this. But when the children of Israel moved through the wilderness, Abram's father, God told him, leave Canaan and go to a land that I will show you. Abram's father, several generations before. And the Bible says he left where God had told him to leave, and he started towards where God had told him. But along the way, he found an oasis and he camped there the rest of his life. And he never got there where God had intended. So later in Scripture, an entire generation of people have to make the same journey to arrive at the same destination. And the point was, God was trying to fix something 3 or 4 generations before, but he got stuck in an oasis and liked that so much that he gave up his inheritance in exchange for a small stopover. Don't put your life in a stopover and like it so much that you've neglected the opportunity of the destiny and inheritance in front of you. Don't do that. There's a whole lot more ahead that way. John 15:1 talks about God defining himself in the context of a gardener, a master gardener. He says, I'm the true vine. My father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it'll be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can it bear fruit. You bear fruit unless you remain in me. Salvation is once off, but fruitfulness is ongoing. Fruitfulness is a plant that needs water often and pruning regularly. The reason why I share that with you is pruning is not about an external thing. I never want to get up here and say, hey, you should stop this or stop that or stop the next thing. I never want to do that. Even the thing I said earlier, I know it's a brave thing to say, like that all my friends sleep around or whatever. But there's, what's the reason people can't say no? Somewhere inside is simply a person who says, I need somebody to tell me I'm one in a million. And if that void is big enough, you'll go looking for it from anyone. But what if your father in heaven were to whisper, this is my beloved son with whom I am well pleased. And that thing sinks in your soul that you don't have to pay with your life future somebody else to say the same thing. He prunes inside. He grafts. He puts in. The Bible grafts 3 things or cuts 3 things out. I'm going to get to them because I said 7:20. I'm going to wrap up. I need to honor your time. And what I'm so excited about this church is I'm going to see you probably next week. And you should maybe invite a friend. Like, I think we should do a Sunday where like we're doing each one, reach one. I know how cheesy that is. I know. But like we need we extended this building 4 months ago. If we did an each one, reach one, we would literally have to sit on the stage. And I want one of those Sundays by the end of this year. We just like have one of those all out. You know, go and fetch those people who are part of Father's House, but only Father's House doesn't know about it. He prunes three things. Temporary responses get pruned out. Nothing that is a temporary response will be fruitful to you. It actually will put you into guilt. So if you walk out of here and say, I promise I'm going to pray every day, and you haven't by Tuesday, now you feel guilt. What you should rather walk out of here saying is, God put in me the desire to be prayerful. You might pray twice this week, but there's no condemnation. You might pray once this month, and there's no condemnation. Because what's really happening is God is shifting on the inside of you the reasons why you might feel it difficult to pray. And that's worth more than forcing some kind of a formula on everybody to pray. When I was a young preacher, I got this thing, you must pray for an hour every day. Yes. Your first 15 minutes is praise. Second 15 minutes is thanksgiving. Second 15 minutes is requests. Last 15 minutes is another thing. Full disclosure, it didn't work for me. An hour. So I bumped into a friend the other day. I said, hey, I want you to come do an all-night prayer. All night. Let me tell you, the last time Jesus prayed all night, he was crucified the next day. So what is going on in your life? All night prayer, all night. And I know what you mean by all night. You mean sing for half of it. Then you do one or two prayers. Why don't we just listen to a CD? Are you a bit ashamed of me as your pastor now? I'm just full disclosure, a whole hour, like 15 minutes of thanksgiving. Hey, Jesus, just wow, you're incredible. I just want to thank you for everything. I want to thank you for this is the day that the Lord has made. I thank you for the day. No, but now I'm aware I must end with another 15 minutes. Like I'm like just, Lord, from the first 15 minutes, just ditto. I still agree with everything I said an hour ago. How is that possible that when our thing is true for everyone? No. Put a desire in me to be prayerful, and then I will respond at the level of my rising faith, and I might beat an hour in a certain moment of burden. But then it's authentic and not fabricated. That's temporary response. Cut it out. It's not you. It's fake. Won't work. Won't work. And then you're going to say Christianity didn't work. No. Some weird formula you called Christianity didn't work. He is not a formula. He's a friend. You don't do the formula. You meet the friend. And so if you, okay, 2 Corinthians 7:10, godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret, but worldly sorrow brings death. I'm way over time. Can I do the other two quick? Transactional responses. He prunes transaction. Transactional responses, if you this, then I that. Please stop doing that. You're going to hurt yourself. You're in a chess game with the creator of the universe. He's outmaneuvered you while you're still plotting your next clever move. None of this, if this, then that. Thy will be done. Not my will. The only transaction that exists in the Bible between man and God is not me, yes you. Wins every time. Any other transaction, you're going to get hurt. He prunes that out. The only valuable and fruitful response is transformational response. Will you please, Lord, change me from the inside out? Will you allow me to respond from what you are doing internally until it becomes something external? I want to conclude with 2 Corinthians 3:16. It's one of those 3:16 verses. There are a whole lot of them in the Bible. You should do a study on that sometime. Also, we all know the easier one, John 3:16. But there are lots of other 3:16s. Proverbs 3:16 is amazing. And 2 Corinthians 3, 16 through 18 says, "And we all with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." It basically says this. When you take your filters off your face and see the fullness of the Father, you change. Anything else doesn't work. And so Paul writes and says, even though I'm an apostle, I'm not finished with my transformation because I want to see who he is and let that image make me who I should be. I'm so grateful and respectful. Oh, I'm so sorry for the time. I'm so grateful and respectful for Tim sharing his story, and for last week us hearing a very real story, because I don't want Christianity to be a faked lifestyle for acceptance that is only accepted by broken people, and we create this weird world in church where the pastor tells you you're okay, but always leaves you feeling like you might not be. So he'll come back next week so your drug dealer can give you another dose. Because that's how people get abused. We come together to celebrate what he has done. And if there's an inconsistency between belief and behavior, we love you. We don't want to start by dealing with your behavior. We want to go into your beliefs and say, what's stopping that from living out? If you believe you are a son of God but behave like an orphan, I don't want to stand in front of you and say, behave like a son. I want to dig into your heart and go, who is robbing you of your sonship and making you an orphan? If I can find that thing and prune it out, you'll behave like a son automatically. And some people in this room, you're striving to be what you are while not recognizing that something is coming to rob you of that. Sort that thing out. And live the life God has called you to. I think I hear rain. So we're staying now. I mean, your hair's going to get messed up. You know. You know you go out there and you got to be in. Let's stand and pray. Connections, parking, coffee shop. If you're visiting for the first time or a couple of weeks been visiting, pop into Connections. They're leaving right now to prepare for you. But could I ask everyone else to give me a minute? I think we should close this conversation with an intentional prayer. Can you say amen to that? And I know some people who are very religious might listen to a message like this and say, oh, those people at Father's House, they're not worried about behavior. You can behave any way you like, whatever. If that's what you heard, we need to cut your out of your soul, your judgmental, what? Because you know when, Control-Alt-Delete. When you have a filter, no matter what the guy says to you on the other side of the filter, you're going to hear what you want. Some guy will say to you, I'm not really interested in a relationship at this time. Your filter says next week, not this week. Do you see what I mean by a filter? Let's fix it. Okay, let's just pray. Let's just pray. The rains have come. You're here now. It's going to rain till Tuesday, according to Wind Guru, so... Lord, we thank you for your word that is truth and truth that sets us free. We thank you that we are transformed from the inside out, not faking it on the outside and feeling pain on the inside. You're not interested in that. You're interested in grafting into us the true vine on the inside and letting us grow out of that the fruit of a faithful life. Will you help us, Holy Spirit, to bring our behavior and our beliefs in alignment? And where there is inconsistency, will you show us what the source and the cause is so that we are not robbed any further? We ask this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, would you give God a shout of praise?
Thank you for listening to another Father's House podcast. For any more information, please visit our website at www.fathershousesa.org or connect with us on any one of our social media platforms.